Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. And I would like to greet, especially today, those of my friends who are in prison. I've been amazed at the number of letters that I've had from prisoners. It's very difficult for me to even imagine what it's like. In fact, it's quite impossible. But I do want you to know that I think of you and I pray for you, and I trust that there's never a program in which there isn't some word which would be applicable to your situation. And I think that today it certainly would be, and I would hope that everyone will see that it's applicable to their situation. We've been talking about that familiar prayer known as the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. And today the subject is the will of God. How often we pray prayers that we've memorized and don't even think about the words. Now, I suppose there are plenty of people listening to me who never pray memorized prayers. But there's a great deal to be said for using ancient words, and especially this particular prayer, because it is the model that Jesus gave to his disciples. It's been called the Lord's Prayer, but it's also equally accurate to say it's the disciples' prayer, because while the Lord gave it to them, he gave it to the disciples, telling them that this was what they should say when they pray. And the phrase is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Evelyn Underhill calls this the prayer of pure realism and also of confident love. The prayer of pure realism and also of confident love. Now, it does require confident love, doesn't it? Because we do not know what the will of God is going to entail. But we have confidence in his love. When I pray, "Thy will be done," I have to confess that sometimes my flesh and my heart fail. I tremble a little bit when I think, for example, of what the will of God being done in the lives of my grandchildren may ultimately mean. They're facing a dangerous world, a world that right now to some of us looks as though it's disintegrating in a good many different ways. But I can trust those grandchildren to God and ask that his will be done in them. So it is a prayer of realism and also of confident love. Now, the phrase, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," immediately takes our thoughts from earth to heaven and from heaven to earth. It's nice to look toward heaven, isn't it? Perfection, eternal joy, everything working out the way it's supposed to work out, or as those wonderful words that are among my favorite quotations from Julian of Norwich say, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well." Some of you are in situations today where it's almost impossible to imagine that all manner of thing shall be well, but it is in heaven. And we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so the prayer brings us from the contemplation of heaven right down to that pure realism, where we contemplate what it means to accept the conditions through which the will of God must enter our very homes, our work, our lives, and our hearts. Thy will be done. What are the conditions through which, in which, God will answer that prayer? It means a total capitulation, doesn't it? A total giving over of my will to God's. As Tennyson wrote, our wills are ours to make them thine. God created us with the freedom to choose. He created us with the privilege of making our wills God's, choosing to love Him, choosing His will for our lives instead of our own. And that cuts across our will, doesn't it? Let's face it, let's be realistic. The will of God very often cuts across ours. For one thing, because we're so ignorant, we don't know what the ultimate outcome will be of the choices that we make. God does. And so when I have a choice to make, it's a good thing to pray, Thy will be done. Lord, show me what You want, because You know the end from the beginning. You know the outcome. And of course, another reason why our wills cut across the will of God is simply because we're full of human and very earthly and fleshly desires, some of which are very destructive, some of which are not going to bring us the joy that we imagine they will. But the great question arises, is it possible to know just what God wants us to do? He has certainly given us principles as means of deciding what to do, but He doesn't stop with this. God has given us His Word. He has given us His Holy Spirit to be our guide, our comforter, the revealer of truth, the interpreter of His Word. It's unthinkable to me that God would leave His children in baffling uncertainties without giving them guidance. The baffling uncertainties of human judgment. Who of us has not faced that? We face it often, don't we? Well, years ago, John Hay, who was the director of the South American Mission, once had to make some difficult decisions. And his rule for making decisions was, number one, prolonged prayer. Number two, counsel from earnest, praying Christian friends. And number three, searching the Word for passages which would bear on similar occasions or problems. And number four, a careful consideration of the circumstances. Now I'll read those again for you. His principles of determining the will of God were, first of all, prolonged prayer, and I think that's probably where most of us fail most miserably. We want the will of God now. We want it instantly. We want to know exactly what's going to happen next week, instead of being quiet before God. Prolonged prayer. Number two is counsel from earnest praying Christian friends. Are you willing to receive counsel from earnest praying Christian friends? Notice that John Hay doesn't say from a psychiatrist or a professional counselor. There were very few of those back in his day. He's talking about earnest praying Christian friends. Ask your friends if this decision that you're facing, if the thing that you lean toward is likely to be the will of God. See what they say. Then, of course, third, study the Word. And fourth, look at the circumstances. When the time of action really came, then John Hay was obliged to choose one course or another, and he had learned from many experiences to have the faith to believe that the course to which his mind and his will were guided at that time, even though he might not have a very keen feeling about it, was God's course for him. He was then able to move forward according to that decision with confidence and a quiet mind, believing that he could trust God to guard him against making a wrong choice after having sought His will honestly and patiently by prayer, by reference to the Word, by counsel with friends, and, when this was available, by the use of good sense in considering other circumstances. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard of George Mueller, founder of many orphanages in England. How did he ascertain the will of God? Well, he gives us six principles. Number one, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. Now, I've found that extremely difficult, in fact, quite impossible. And even when I can't bring my heart to the place where I have no will of my own, I can say, Lord, this is my will. You know it. But Lord, I surrender it to you. George Mueller gave this second point. Having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. If I do so, I make myself liable to great delusions. Number three, I seek the will of the Spirit of God through, in connection with, the Word of God. Number four, look at the circumstances. Take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with His Word and Spirit. Number five, I ask God in prayer to reveal His will to me aright. Number six, through prayer to God, the study of the Word, and reflection, I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three more petitions, I proceed accordingly. With many of us, I think God's guidance never comes into the realm of reality because somewhere in that citadel, that walled place where my will lives, there is something not yet yielded to Him. If you're in a perplexing situation right now, let me counsel you to examine your own heart. Is there a reservation? Are you saying, Lord, I want your will as long as it's not this? Lord, I want your will if you promise me that you won't do so-and-so. Or as the girl once said to me, I'll be a missionary if God gives me a husband. The prayer is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.